Hey, it's Animal Brown checking in. Gotta tell you guys a secret, all right? Before we kick this episode off, I have something very important to tell you. You guys have been asking for additional content. Well, guess what? That day is here. Patreon.com/RealVille. We have brand new original shows strictly for Patreon. They're exclusive, all right? Patreon.com/RealVille. Right now, we have a new tier that is an exclusive show with me and the homie Spike Lou. It is called Album Cover, and we are reviewing some of the biggest projects to come out this year. We were going to have two new reviews every week. Every Tuesday is going to be available. It's shit crazy. Go there right now. We've got two reviews waiting on you to consume, all right? We hop back in the time machine and we reviewed that Rick Ross Teflon Don in preparation for his Port of Miami 2 this Friday. And we reviewed Megan Thee Stallion because right now it's a hot girl summer. It's popping right now, all right? We reviewed Megan Thee Stallion's Fever mixtape on there right now. It's on there literally right this second. We're going to have new reviews every Tuesday. Dropping on Tuesdays like how the CDs used to do back in the day, all right? We're taking it back. Patreon.com/RealVille. We've got new shows coming soon. It's going to be bananas, satisfaction guaranteed. I'm going to stop talking. Go to Patreon.com/RealVille and sign up right now for the exclusive shit with more original shows coming soon. Fuck. It's crazy. Okay, all right, I'm done. Now to the show.
Welcome to episode 311 of the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou. We appreciate you guys joining us this month. We have a brand new sponsor, and it's TheHoodGeek.com. Go to TheHoodGeek.com, and they can provide you with technical solutions or your business with technical solutions. So go to TheHoodGeek.com, and you can cop merch there. They got dad hats. They got nice T-shirts. So we appreciate them being the sponsor for this month. RealVilleMedia.com. There you can go check out all the shows on the network. There are three shows to select from.
Absolutely, man. The shows include the Full Sport Press podcast. Shout out my homie Jay Hove, Jeff, and Howeezy. They are doing their NFL Top 7 series this last episode, wide receivers and tight ends. I heard my Packers was on the list. Much appreciated. Also, check out the podcast formerly known as Fresh for Dummies. It is now Fresher Than Your Average podcast with me and my homie Jay Hove. Episode 50 is up right now. Make sure you go check that out and call that hotline with your questions or comments. All right, do us a favor, realvillemedia.com. Go visit that now. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get to this rap shit. What it do, what the business is.
It is another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holler at your boy Animal Brown, a.k.a. Hot Boy Brown. Animal_Brown if you're looking for me on social.
I am Spike Lou on the same social sites.
Producer M Extra, what's good, sir?
What's going on? It's your boy M Extra, M Extra 3 on all things social media. That is MXTRA 3.
That's what it do. Lou, what you have on deck for the weekend?
That's a disgusting T-shirt, by the way. This is disgusting.
2018 Super Bowl champs.
It'll be a while before you can say that again.
My guy Sam hit me this weekend, man. He was in Orlando.
Okay.
And he said, "Hey, man, your boy M Extra, is he in Orlando too?" And I remember Twin here, hence the name Twin. He was like, "No, I'm going to be in town this weekend. I got company coming."
Right.
So I told Sam, I said, "I don't think that was him." And Sam was like, "Well, man, some dude in here looked just like him," and I just, M Extra in the suit three times, and the nigga didn't even look up.
That's funny as fuck.
That's funny as hell, but your brother got to be a special ass, so do he not know your nickname?
Bro, he said he didn't hear you.
That's funny.
He said he didn't hear Sam.
That's funny.
He said it was loud.
Sam said it three times, and he said the nigga didn't look up once. He said, "Man, he cold ignored the shit out of me." That was funny as hell. I just wanted to share that with the listeners for the weekend. Benefits of having a twin.
I don't know if it's a gift and a curse.
That's funny as fuck.
What'd you have up this weekend?
Man, I was at the aquarium for some adult shit. Sips Under the Sea.
Oh, yeah, that's a good Friday night date, right?
Yeah, date night for sure. You would have liked it. There was a lot of vibes in the building.
Yeah, I could.
There was a lot of vibes. I will say this, though. I couldn't even really enjoy myself. The police fucking with me while I was there.
What?
Strolling through, minding my own business. Tried to give me a citation for yay walking. Said my Yeezys was too fresh. And I'm just like, dog, look, bro. I know they came out last year, and they fresh as fuck. They look like they came out last night.
This was lame.
You got to let me live.
If a cop actually did stop you and say that, this is lamer than the actual story. Right. So I don't know which one is worse. The story, you making it up, or if a nigga actually did.
I got to go to court to fight this yay walking ticket, man. And I don't appreciate that shit. Man.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope Kim gets you out. I hope she can get you out.
What you have on deck, man?
I don't even know how to pop. I had company in the clown.
You playing?
I can't even talk.
Yeah, he wrote that out and everything.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
It's
crazy, but it's true.
I had some very good company in town. We had a great time showing Atlanta. Yeah.
That's a nice compliment right there.
Yeah, it was very good company.
Okay. That's what's up.
Cool.
Yeah. So we had a great time around the city. I hung out with Matthew and a vibe.
The vibes.
So it was good. Fun time.
Let me tell you what rocked my world here recently.
Whoa. Okay, Wanda.
This
chick was referring to old school hip hop and then commenced to say, you know, like Jeezy, T.I., Ludacris. I said, wait, what?
You was at a high school?
Nah, she was a grown woman. And she called Jeezy, Ludacris, T.I. old school hip hop. She said, I preferred old school hip hop.
Well, they are
washed.
I was
done.
Whoa.
I mean, call it old school hip hop, is that what we are already?
No, we're not. Okay. They exaggerated. Right. Shout out to them, though.
She said that's a cool old school hip hop concept.
Yeah, Tip ain't washed, though.
Yeah, she bugging.
Yeah, Tip fucked up.
That's funny. That's funny.
All right, man, we got a lot of shit to talk about. First things first, let's go to YG versus WAC 100. Now, YG and WAC 100 had a war of words over the weekend. It came from a post that WAC 100 put up about his artist Blueface, saying, and I quote, "One thing I respect is this. Blueface came in the rap game crippin'. The Game came in pyruin'. Mozzie came into it bloodin'. Some of you niggas was wearing skinny jeans and dancing without a gang slogan coming out your mouth until you got money to buy a set." End quote. Now, YG took offense to this post and commented underneath saying, quote, "You should have added me, big gangster OG Pyru Godfather." End quote. Now, the two went back and forth in the comments, YG even accusing WAC of begging to get him on songs. Do you see YG losing credibility after these accusations?
I don't see him losing any credibility. WAC is clearly he's someone that has enough education on it to speak on it. So if you feel like he's in violation somewhere, being an OG Crip blood G nigga that YG was calling him, then that's cool, of course. But I don't think that we're at a point in time where people are going to care if that's the truth or not. YG is not going to be labeled a phony amongst his generation. I've always heard quite the opposite. So it doesn't really matter what people of the generation that WAC and them look at him like, because there are other examples in hip hop of where people have been successful that have done this. You can look at Wayne and Baby. You can look at Chris Brown. You can look at other people who they've said bought sets as well. And I mean, it didn't take anything away from their popularity. I think YG was good in responding to him, even though, I mean, I guess he was talking about YG. It could have been somebody else that he was talking about. But I mean, hey, I get it. YG being funny, WAC ain't really a threat to him. So I mean, if I'm YG, why not step out on the porch and say that and kind of test what he called himself trying to do and talking cold? If I'm YG, though, I don't feel threatened by this at all, and it don't test my legacy at all, because like he said, I go way deeper than what you know about me, OG gangster.
And that's the thing. First of all, judging by YG's comment, was he being serious or was he being funny?
He was being funny.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. But then they ended up going back and forth.
But no, he was being funny in a sarcastic, like, fuck you type of way, though. Like, my bad, OG, Crip, gangster, blood, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing, to answer the question, do I see this losing credibility? Absolutely not. That ship has sailed. YG is YG at this point. He's in too deep for anybody to kind of question that.
Star.
We're past anybody caring at this point. It reminds me of Rick Ross with the CO shit.
Yeah.
If YG has a hit tomorrow, no one will give a shit about whether he bought his way into a set or anything that can't necessarily be proven. Then no one will care. This generation doesn't give a shit about that. They was crowning Tekashi this time last year as being OG Pyru Godfather. So it, none of that shit matters. It is very interesting. Now, the video that he was referring to, people thought was the YG Tooted and Booted song that was his kind of first hit.
Right.
And if you go back and look at it, though, it's not what he's describing. So YG might have jumped the gun a little bit, and the hit dog may have hollered for no reason, because that's not what that video doesn't look like. Like, it's just like a regular little video. He's even got All Red on in that video in one of the scenes. So I'm not sure what he was talking about. Wack did dare somebody to say something in the caption. So maybe that's what provoked YG to kind of be sarcastic and be a dickhead and try to say something. But this doesn't do anything for his credibility, man. This will be here today and go tomorrow.
Wack had the same problem as well with Tupac. That was his whole thing with Tupac as well. Like, you were a fake gangster. That's what him and Mike Tyson allegedly got the fighting for.
Right.
Like, Wack has his problem as far as people appropriating gang culture in LA anyway.
Yeah.
So I feel like YG, like,
I think I don't think this bothers YG at all. I also don't think YG doesn't strike me as a fraud either.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't hear so many great things about Wack, especially lately. So I mean, it's like come on, like, okay, what do you gain from this? It was no point of it.
This was Wack taking up for his artist, Blueface. That's all he was doing. I mean, that was the whole purpose.
I don't even think
he was taking up for his artist. I think this is how Wack remains popular in a generation that don't care about that gang shit.
Yeah.
Like, he continuously forcing his way into the stratosphere by, like, the Mike Tyson shit, where he allegedly the fake fight that they had. And now, even with this throwing it out there, I feel like that he knew somebody was going to take the bait, and it just happened to be YG. This is just Wack trying to stay relevant.
Yeah,
I feel like this is the only way. If I'm Blueface, man, this is the only way that I can stay relevant. Blueface done went on a bit of a lull here. You know what I mean? Like, this is
his
how
time is coming to an
this
end
is how I stay in the media, in the news, and YG just bit on that shit.
Yeah, I don't even think he would. There's so many other people that he could have been talking about. Like, the first person I thought of when I read it was Chris Brown. That was the first person I thought he was talking about.
I thought he was talking about Wayne.
Man.
But his first video wasn't skinny jeans and shit, though.
No, like,
that wouldn't have fit.
Wack knew what he was doing, man. He did this.
What? Do you think he was talking about YG?
Yes.
They probably had some beef bubbling beforehand. Then
why now?
Because just say relevant. You just said it.
Yeah.
And you got an artist out. You want to keep, you know, him in the new.
Yeah, because he's heard them new records and he heard that they ain't hitting on shit.
All right. So here's a question that poses from that, guys. Being that no one cares anyway about the gangster shit, do you see that stuff phasing out? Like, Blueface came and went. Nobody cares if YG so gangster anymore. Like, the whole gangster persona, is that phasing out of hip-hop now?
No, I don't
think no one cares, as you imply. I think people still care.
People still care?
I think there's a small pocket of people who care. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, bro, you could have pictures of YG tomorrow in a fucking ballerina outfit, bro. Nobody's going to care, bro.
Well, I mean, like, okay, for instance,
just not gonna kill.
For instance, I seen YBN Cordae interview on Breakfast Club.
Yep.
Struck me as a very nice guy, cool kid, grew up, used to work at Chili's. That used to wouldn't have been able to be a number one album in hip hop like 10 years ago.
You can thank Kid Cudi and Drake and people like that and Kanye.
Right.
For the everyday average dude.
Gotcha. So is that no longer. You used to couldn't get that through now.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. Gotcha. You can
y'all
say
you can get it through without being gangster.
100%.
Okay. Oh, I mean, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, there's lanes.
Yeah.
There's a large community of people who relate way more to YB and Cordae than YG.
I think you just got to own up to it.
Yeah,
like, you can't
you have
be
to
out
be
here
yourself.
That's
yeah,
it.
You just got to own up to it.
That's it. You don't got to be fucking.
Can't be Tupac.
Vanilla Ice saying you from one place and you're really
say,
not.
You can say it. You can't be Tupac.
Let's not be disrespectful.
I don't even know what that
means. Yeah, let's not be disrespectful.
I don't know what that means. You can't be Tupac. What they said, Tupac was not from the West Coast, originally from the East Coast, wasn't gangbanging, but then became a gangbanger. Everything that they try to criticize Tupac now, you can't be that.
No, you don't need to be that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I don't even think it was, well, that's a different conversation. But yeah, Pac was just Pac. Yeah. It was a walking contradiction. But it's all
this
it
is true. That's a fact. And we're gonna get to that a little bit later too. Don't worry about it.
At some point.
Let's talk Drake. Let's go north of the border, man. Drake has had a busy year making moves outside of the booth, inking two deals in recent weeks that promise you'll be hearing and seeing even more of him in the future. He signed a creative partnership deal with Sirius XM Pandora, formerly Sirius XM Radio, that will include a dedicated station, curated music, and collaborations with creative talent. There was a second deal that he signed with LeBron and his Uninterrupted Media Company. It's called Uninterrupted Canada, which will produce, quote, athlete-driven content, events, and merchandise. Which of these two deals is a bigger deal?
The one with Sirius. I mean, just because there are other big artists that already have done this, Taylor Swift, just not in the hip-hop lane, but it's been done before. And to have this done, creating a whole channel where you have that look, that's a very big look. Not to say that the LeBron interrupted thing is, but everybody doesn't watch sports. Damn near Sirius is going to be in everyone's radio in some form of way on your phone. So that's going to last a long time. But I think Drake has came to that point where everything is a big look, though. Not even one being bigger than the other. Whether I'm showing up at the game at the finals or I'm re-releasing old music and it going number one, it doesn't matter. He's reached a rare air in his career as an entertainer that, like, anything that I do, I can't go wrong unless I blatantly offend somebody important.
Yeah.
Like, I think that he's in that rare air, so it really don't matter what he do now. It's almost like a Sean Kemp dunk for him. Like, it don't matter. If Drake name is on it, it's definitely going to go through this nowadays.
Yeah, he's definitely got the Midas touch right now. I think, number one, he's what Jay did in terms of working his kind of popularity outside of the booth early on. He was the blueprint for that, yeah, for rappers.
Yeah,
Drake is rewriting that blueprint because he's doing it now in his prime. And these deals, so the Sirius XM station, I'm not sure if it'll be like all just his music, kind of like how they got like a Beatles
be
station.
Curated artist.
Okay, so here's the thing, because Eminem has Shade 45.
Right.
LL Cool J has a Sirius radio station. So if it that's been done before, not to say that's not a big deal, because there's only two people that do it. So it's still a big deal, but I think the Uninterrupted Canada joint is a huge deal. Because LeBron, now you're tied in with LeBron, who has his hands in movies, television. Like, you're one inch away from having the number one film in the box office, you know, next weekend if you're a Drake. He's already behind Euphoria on HBO, which is now a hit show, and they've already signed on for season two.
Fantastic. LeBron show. Or Drake?
Drake.
Oh, okay.
He's behind that. So what he's doing this year with not even really being on the scene musically, but still being ultra relevant, is crazy this year. I'm still sticking to my theory that he does not drop an album this year, because we're not counting what just came out last week as an album. Those were obviously Lucy's that came out within the last 10 years. I don't think he does a solo album this year. I'm still sticking to that. And the fact that he is this relevant in the summertime with no record out is bananas.
This is the perfect time too, though. Like, you could argue that he's even hotter last year. Like, coming into June when he was about to drop his album, or when the last time he dropped, he's even hotter now, hasn't really done anything to get that hot. So imagine if he hit the button.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if an album's done,
I think album is
and one of those like around September when it's just starting to get cold, and you got one of those Ross and Drake's coming out, like, it'll be over.
Yeah.
For the rest of the fourth quarter, Drake would rule that. So I think an album still may come out.
Any of these a big deal, little deal, no deal, twin? What you think?
I mean, they're both big deals. I speak more to the LeBron deal because it's more coverage. The Sirius deal hasn't really been discussed in detail. But the LeBron deal is big not only for Drake but also LeBron, because it's the first international expansion for LeBron's company.
That's true.
So I think it's a bigger deal for the LeBron because it's a minority business setting precedent for something that's going to be bigger in the future.
Who's more famous worldwide in your guys' eyes, LeBron or Drake?
LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he's been doing it longer, too. He's been out since 2004. He's been famous for longer.
You can go to Asia and everybody knows LeBron. You know,
I agree. Y'all got Drake fucked up, though. Listen, Drake is quietly approaching, and I said this before, when it's all said and done, GOAT status.
Yeah, nobody asked that question, though.
No, GOAT status. When it's all said and done.
He's coming for Michael Jackson.
GOAT of music.
He's coming for Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Wait, don't.
He's going to be the top pop R&B person
that
is.
Don't do that. Let's not be disrespectful.
He's going to be number one in that lane.
Let's not be disrespectful. He's going to be number one in the music lane.
Right. Michael Jackson's.
Fuck.
It's Michael Jackson's lane.
Let's talk young glasses, Malone.
Been shaking it here lately.
Glasses has, hey, listen, 2 weeks removed, and we're still talking about the Tupac Must Die video.
Controversial fella.
During his stop at the Breakfast Club, G. Malone continued to defend his music video, which we all agree was fire. Mm-hmm. None of us looked at it like, oh, what is he
doing?
It
was good.
We thought it was dope. But he tacked on some more controversial opinions. For one, he gave Ross what seemed like a backhanded compliment by calling him top five. Then naming off things about him that were fantasy, implying that his persona was made up. Mm. And then two, he said Snoop was a bigger star than Pac and that Snoop basically helped blow Pac up. Which one of these was more egregious?
I think the Ross part was, because it's not far-fetched to say that Snoop was a bigger star than Pac, especially once he broke it down to it and how he recruited Pac over there and who everyone was talking about with the murder was a case trial and all the stuff that surrounded Pac. I mean, Snoop had the movie out. I think with what he was saying about Ross, though, the backhanded compliment, as you put it, in my opinion, it kind of paints a picture of where why Glasses Malone is here and why we're talking about him more so for the headlines and what he says as opposed to his music. Mm-hmm. What struck me in the comparison himself to Rick Ross is saying that I got to do these things because Rick Ross lied in his music. When y'all are not even the same type of rappers. Like, that's slick disrespect.
He said gangster rappers.
Yeah, that's not a point.
That's not what Rick Ross is. And if Glasses Malone going to compare himself to Rick Ross as far as gangster rap, then that's why you not as successful as Rick Ross. I don't think that Rick Ross caters to a gangster rap crowd. His is a more luxury trap rap type of crowd. It ain't really gangster rap. White people would say that, or people that are outside of the culture would call all of that gangster rap with a sweeping brush, as he did. He knows that him and Rick Ross are not in the same lane. They ain't competing for the same fans. It ain't nothing that Rick Ross does is going to affect Glasses Malone's career. So I feel like that was lazy for him to say, oh, well, because Rick Ross do this, I can't do this, or the third. Like, that's definitely not true, especially in today, how we just explained, all you more so have to be is yourself.
Right.
So you can't say that Rick Ross did this and now I got to come here and put my nuts on the table. He said on Brilliant Idiots podcast that last year the most gangster songs that came out were by Drake and Cole. He's like, oh, the songs that they had, they were talking about killing niggas and this. And then I'm like, bro, come on.
Yeah, he
like, you're reaching. Like, it's doing too much.
Yeah, so, he tripping.
That's what I thought.
I'll say this. Glasses Malone was reaching on both of these statements.
Mm-hmm.
Although he has a point with the Ross persona thing. It just, there was no need for him to bring that up. Like, I get it. You're on Breakfast Club. You've got 15 minutes. You got to milk this for what it's worth to keep people talking about you. Bruh, the reason why nobody is talking about you in the same vein as Rick Ross is because Rick Ross makes better music than you. Period.
That's it.
Now, that's not to say that, yes, you have a point. Rick Ross is wearing clothes, and he's wearing designer clothes that aren't made in his size.
Facts.
He's wearing a zillion dollars worth of jewelry if you know about gold. Let's be honest.
Facts.
Everyone is wearing designer clothes, and everyone is wearing a zillion dollars worth of jewelry, dog. He is not the only culprit in that. So that's a rap thing in general. So you have beef with pretty much everyone who's successful, and not name you.
And Ross didn't make that popular either.
But he didn't say he had beef at all.
But Rick Ross isn't the one that made that popular. You can't attach that to someone's name and be like, well, you're the reason, and now I got to abide by these rules when we sit here and just said that those rules don't apply anymore. So how would Glasses Malone apply those rules to him and Rick Ross when we clearly just said they don't apply anymore?
He was 100% correct in everything he said. Mm-hmm. And everything he said was accurate. Because he's right. I don't know if y'all ever, I read this GQ article about Rick Ross maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
It was a great article, and it really showed you the inside of how he really thinks. And he know it's a charade. That is the GQ article is everything Glasses Malone was talking about. The writer said in it's excess of this gold around his neck, or the excess of trying to have these designer clothes with these amount of women. Like, he does it because Ross, that's his persona. Rick Ross to me is like a wrestler. He has a persona.
I understand that.
So in Glasses' point, everybody who listens to Glasses, not everybody who listens to Rick Ross listens to Glasses, but everybody listening to Glasses listens to Rick Ross. That's a fact.
No, absolutely not. He's a West Coast rapper. There are guys on the West Coast that will ride for it, that are going to listen to that style of music, that prefer that cadence to a Rick Ross.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. You said
a Glasses fan wouldn't necessarily listen to Ross?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Can I talk?
Go ahead.
I said, pay attention. Every Glasses Malone fan, 9 times out of 10, listens to Rick Ross as well. That's a fact. So
I didn't just say that.
You didn't.
You said the opposite. Yeah, you said the reverse.
But anyway, so my whole thing is, he is right when he says his fans are also watching Rick Ross, because they are. And Rick Ross is a walking movie. He's not real. And he's right. They don't make these clothes inside. These are custom. Like this. Come on, man. Exactly.
But the point is, everyone has an image.
But what he's saying is Rick Ross is to the 20th power with it. And he is. Yeah. He is one of the him. He is with the way he is overall, 2 Chainz in with just the way he dresses. It's like It's like you have to look like this.
Can't
be this way.
No, you don't, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, you don't have to.
You have to do that if you're trying to follow someone. No, Kendrick Lamar doesn't try to be like Rick Ross. J. Cole doesn't try to be like Kendrick Lamar. Drake doesn't try to be like Big Sean. My point, and to Glasses and Malone's point, if he's chasing what Rick Ross is doing, then he's never going to be able to get in that lane because Rick Ross is already there. I wouldn't think that people that listen to Glasses Malone that are from his hood that like the West Coast cadence and the style of rap would necessarily listen to Rick Ross as well. I feel like that's a more underground type of style. People that tend to listen to underground rappers like Glasses Malone usually don't like the mainstream stuff that Rick Ross does from what I've seen. Maybe not to you. But to my point, what I would say is if he's chasing Rick Ross, like I say, then you're not going to be able to get that crowd. So even bringing it up, to your point, is a backhanded compliment.
It was 100% a backhanded compliment, though. Saying, oh, this guy is in my top 5, but everything about him is fake. That's what he said.
But he's right.
But that's a backhanded compliment,
it
though.
It might be a backhanded compliment, but he's right.
What was the purpose?
Because
to remain relevant for 10 more minutes?
No, see, that's the thing. See, this is why people real like Leslie Malone has a problem getting to certain audiences like yourself. Because he made a real comment, and people are taking it as if it's not true. It's true because they asked him a question, and he was saying this is because of, he gave an example. He said, if I'm in his lane, it doesn't matter if you think Rick Ross rap better than him, has more fans. That's not his point. His point is that people, my fans are like, listen to Rick Ross as well. And this is what I'm up against.
That's fair, but I understand that. It's just a real answer.
I mean, but so who all in the Rick Ross and Glasses and Malone lane?
I mean, it's a lot of people.
Like, it's Kendrick Lamar in that lane. No. I don't understand who I was in the lane.
Like a Jeezy.
Luke, come on.
Yeah, just the street rap shit, bro.
Street rap is
not on the lower level broke nigga street rap. But
that ain't what Glasses Malone do either. He makes controversial, like, more lyrical music and that's geared towards, like, different, like, thought, like stuff that's in current events. Like, he talking about stuff like that. Rick Ross is never even touching that.
To the average consumer,
Glasses Malone
they're
fan.
The same fan. You listen to this shit more than everybody else. To the average consumer, they're the same thing.
That's like me. I have Migos.
Right, so we're not talking about the average consumer. We're talking about someone that would go buy a Glasses Malone album. The person that goes to buy a Glasses Malone album doesn't care what Rick Ross is doing. So why would Glasses Malone care what Rick Ross is doing?
I think they do care.
He was saying was that he gave the example about Jay getting $1 billion. If you're looking at 2 artists in the same field and you're celebrating your $1 million deal and Jay is celebrating his $500 million deal, your $1 million deal looks like shit compared to that, even if you're not necessarily, quote unquote, going against Jay directly.
Exactly. Thank you.
That's kind of what he was saying.
That's all he was saying.
But it was still a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, it was. But that's all he was saying. He was right, though.
And it was unnecessary.
He was right.
I don't agree with
that. It was unnecessary. But the shit he said about Ross was right.
Why you acting like it's not true?
His persona is exaggerated and over the top.
Tremendously.
And that's what makes it appealing, period. Like, the fucking bank account skit, everybody was talking about the bank account skit.
It's like Hulk Hogan. He's like a wrestler.
He's an artist. I mean, you're supposed
to. I'm just saying.
You're supposed to, dog.
No, you're not. There's plenty of artists who have no out of this world persona like Rick Ross.
Yeah. But no, they have personas.
Yeah, they do. But I'm just saying his is over the top.
That's fair. I know Noriega.
Everybody has two legs. But
that's how he gets it. That's how he gets his.
Nobody's disputing that.
And then if Glasses gets his by doing stuff like Tupac Must Die, that's like a nigga coming in there and saying, well, you make controversial pieces like Tupac Must Die to get attention. That's the exact same thing. So why would he blame Ross?
He did do it to get it.
Absolutely.
So you blaming Ross for doing the same thing on a higher level?
Why do you keep saying he's blaming him? He's not blaming him. He's just giving an example of what he has to compete. That's not a blame.
That is a blame, in my opinion.
Blaming him for what?
The reason that I'm not as successful as him is because I don't do that. That's what he said.
He said because I don't do that, but he's not. It's not a personal attack against Ross.
It just seemed like it, though. Yeah. Bro. If you were Ross, how would you feel about that comment, bro?
I mean, I laugh. I mean, what can you do? It's funny. He's right.
Stop.
If I'm a real nigga, I'd be like, he's right.
If Ross goes on Breakfast Club this week and they don't ask him about that, I'm boycotting all media.
Ross ain't gonna respond to that because he's gonna be like, well, who is Glass and Malone?
That's where he's gonna go.
That's the persona. That's Rick Ross. Like, who is it?
But
like,
he's
Rick Ross
even
is not.
Exactly. But here's the thing, though. We've talked about this most recently. He's backed off of the super gangster persona. We've just talked about this for the last 2 years. He's been taking himself less seriously, doing like different podcasts and stuff. He hasn't been taking himself as serious as he did when he first came out. So when they ask, first of all, that need to be the first fucking question when he goes on Breakfast Club. Charlamagne better be there. Watch this be the day this nigga on vacation. I don't want to hear none of that shit. They better ask dude, because I got to hear it answer.
Rick Ross going to gloss right over that. Like, I 1,000,000% think he going to be like, who?
That's going to let me down if he do that. I'm going to be real.
Yeah, well,
that's where he going to be at with it.
Glass and Malone is milking this, though. He's doing
you got
great
to,
job.
If
definitely
you're him.
Going to listen to this album now.
I mean, yeah, it's my dude, though. I listened to him on the Brilliant Idiots podcast. They had some good conversation about different things. He's a smart dude. I just don't think that this was... He wasn't accurate what he said.
Oh, he was 100%.
Real quick, though, do you think Pac was blown up because of Snoop? You think Snoop was bigger than Pac?
At a time, yes.
93 to 96 was his time frame.
It's close. It's very close. Snoop was a mega star.
Yeah, but like to Charlamagne's point that he mentioned that people, Madonna and shit, was fucking with Pac, and they weren't showing up to Snoop's courts.
They were scared of Snoop, though. That's why. They thought Snoop was a gangster for real.
Snoop was
a gangster. You know what I'm saying? Like, Snoop was a gangster for real. Pac was more Hollywood. Like,
bro, these Pac days got to stop, been. Bro. You got it. This is your second time, man.
Fam, don't try to paint me as no,
actor,
don't try to paint me as no Pac hater. Like, of course
this
he would be more.
Time.
I'm just saying he would be more comfortable with those people hanging out with Madonna and stuff like that.
All right,
he was more artistic.
That's a backhanded compliment. That's the nature of a backhanded compliment.
Hey, man, shoot me the same bell you shoot glasses.
Nah, man,
do that.
Nah.
Do that, my guy. That's what you do.
No.
shit, man, before we hit this music break, we got two veteran hip-hop personalities returning to TV. Angie Martinez has a new TV show, Untold Stories of Hip-Hop, coming to WeTV, which will, you guessed it, tell untold stories of hip-hop. And Puff is bringing back Making the Band from his glory days at MTV. Which one of these, if any, are must-see TV?
At first, I was going to say the Angie stuff because Angie, she does great interviews. Like, that would be almost something new, but it would be telling, of course, old stories because they would have to already have happened.
Right.
I just want to see some new blood. I don't mind who or what does it, but I don't need Puff to make the band again. I just want new stuff about hip-hop. Hip-hop is the, we sit here and we say it on a weekly basis, the most consumed music that there is. There are a lot more TV shows that can happen based off of hip-hop other than Making the Band and more interview shows. Like, that's not what it's all about. There are other opportunities there for us to make more diverse television, that to give even more aspects of hip-hop, to make it even more expandable to the mainstream. And I assume that's what they're trying to do.
Right.
I feel like it's lazy and kind of comfortable for Puff on his end to be like, well, shit, ain't nothing else work for Revolt. I'll go do Making the Band again because that pops. Try something new. Put some faith and give some other people ideas. That's what hip-hop is about, and I think that they should try some new stuff. Not saying that I'm not excited to see Angie talk to people because, like I said, she is probably the best at what she does, and that will be good entertaining television. But if I were pressed and they were asking me to make the decision, I would try to find new formats, new things, new ideas that evolved and surrounded hip-hop.
Well, I think the Untold Stories is supposed to be a new idea, so to speak, because that's not a rehash. Now, you definitely have a point with the Diddy joint. He's done several seasons of Making the Band, and actually some of them weren't even hip-hop related.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even necessarily know what this one is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I get tired of the sequels and the rehashes and the reboots. I get tired of that too, but hip-hop is still relatively young as a music genre, period, especially as a TV content piece. So it's very young in that aspect. So they're going to go with what has worked already. But I'm here for both, more so the Puff than the Angie Martinez, just because it's on WeTV. I don't know what that's going to look like.
What is on WeTV?
That was going to be my whole thing. I think Puff is going to be have a larger impact because this is on WeTV. And like you just asked, where is WeTV?
What else is on WeTV?
They have some crime shows, I think, sometimes about
like snapped and shit.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, but y'all got to be honest. If she interviewing Drake, y'all going to find
Weezy. No. But I'm saying she's not necessarily interviewing. Well, she's behind it, like showrunner shit, and they'll have... I think they're reenacting stories that have apparently never been told before. So you'll be learning some new shit. I mean,
they're doing drink champs sober.
I don't know. It's not like an interview based thing.
No, it's
like
not. No.
It's not. I think it should be reenactments, like a Snapped or something of that nature.
And then in this day and age, I mean, people much rather
like Drunken History, something like that. Y'all ever seen it?
No,
I never seen it.
Never heard of it.
Gotcha.
Like in this day and age, like people will much rather see. Like making a band. They want to connect. So people definitely want to see a reality as opposed to something that happened in the past.
Let's be clear though, making a band was a shit though.
Yeah, that's my point.
That motherfucker was a shit.
It's gonna succeed.
And then making a band album with Slick banging though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just
that was. Album Slick banging.
Yeah, it was.
And that Day 26 was banging too. I'm interested to see what he does. I don't know if he's gonna do rap though. I think he'll do like some pop shit like he
if
did
you
with
learned
that.
From last time he wouldn't do rap.
Like Danity Kane or some shit. I think he gonna go to that well.
I mean, how much energy is Puff Daddy gonna put into that? He made the shows too.
This is true.
Do we expect the same like type of?
You got to. Yes, he should be re-energized. He hasn't done anything in the last two years.
He's 10 years older than he was.
This is
he's
true.
Doing this, you know what I'm saying? How much screaming on a nigga Puff gonna do at this age, right?
Still got it in him.
Brother Love, ain't he Brother Love?
Yeah, that's over with.
Over with.
Yeah,
Brother Love got it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was quick
for this TV check.
Brother Love
to old him.
Brother Love didn't get enough checks ain't coming in, huh?
Nah. Let's get to this music break, man. First joint, what you got for us, sir?
Yes, Rhapsody is back. She's back with a new project coming up. This one, it's gonna be tough to pronounce, but it's called Abitaha. And that's featuring D'Angelo and GZA. Check it out.
When the MCs came to live out their name, inscribed in the halls and the walls of fame, balancing life, wrote both the yin and yang. Hands buried a man and they raised the sun to rain. That's a play on words, they say herb ain't all the same. Slaves in prison and they some unchained. While everybody in my gang a star DJ Prame, screaming through the sunroof, money still ain't a thing. While I'm spinning small bank, asking where's my change? Carpool with the homies, saving gas in my tank. I think like a billionaire, I spend less than I make. Strong minded, I should bench way more than my weight. Women been leading the way since Roxanne, Shantae, and the unit have Flav and Jay have Marcy neighbors that wave. Looking confused, I'm like, cool, maybe it's age. When I see Afro puffs, I think maybe it's rage. Maybe it's stage, they tripping and they say they got beef. Ain't an MC on this earth that make me feel afraid. Wu-Tang for the children, that's a scripture and phrase. See my goals from a bird's view like Trey, underage.
We are back. That was Rhapsody with a song I would not try to pronounce. How you feel about that, sir?
I wanted to like that so bad. And then GZA or RZA or GZA came in and just made it even harder for me to like. I feel like that was a rough song to like. I wish that Rhapsody would kind of dumb it down a little bit. Her project is a bit overzealous, following up Layla's wisdom and that kind of To Pimp a Butterfly type sound that she had with that one.
Right.
I liked it, but I understand why it didn't go as commercial as she would have liked it.
No.
And I think following that up with this, while you have a Hot Girl Summer going on, not saying that she would have to join
Wow.
But at least come outside and play with us. The rest of the kids
are
having
fun. I can't believe you just said that.
The rest of the kids that are having fun.
Right.
I wish she would do that kind of like just dumb it down a little bit.
Yeah, this songs like this are the reason she doesn't get mentioned by
people.
Oh,
my God. She gets mentioned by rap heads.
Rhapsody is dope. This song is ass. I can't do nothing with this.
The
Where
feature.
Am I going with this? If I walked into a boutique and they were playing this, I'm taking my money elsewhere. If I walked into a restaurant and they were playing this, I'm going to eat someplace else. I am dipping from anywhere, any establishment that this is being played. The song was some slaw. Rhapsody is dope. This song is some slaw.
Especially the GZA feature was a real reach.
We can't tell that you think she's dope by these.
She's
responses.
Super dope. Beauty and the Beast is banging.
But first of all, I mean, I like this record. I think it's something different especially in the time of a Hot Girl Summer. I'm glad we get another woman's perspective. I don't think all women should be painted with a broad stroke just to play one type of music for women. So I like this record. Her new project is every track is supposed to be named after a prominent woman of color. So I love that. So this first person was Abidaha Muhammad. She was the American fencer and bronze medalist at the 2016 Olympic Games. So I like what she's doing.
Listen, it doesn't matter, dude. The song is ass.
Overzealous.
Okay, like I said, she was the first female Muslim American to get a medal at the Olympics. And I love that she's bringing another perspective to rap, because people like Rhapsody are needed in this time of rap, for sure.
I like the balance. It's just the song not good.
No, I like the song a lot. Shout out to Knife One. He's a beast. And it was a sample from GZA from the classic Liquid Swords. So it was dope. I loved it. But I mean, to each his own.
Nah, shit trash.
Real hip hop lives only behind the behind the boards, obviously.
How'd you come across this song?
It's her lead up to a new project. Yeah,
and this new project gonna be scary.
Her last one was a classic.
I won't fuck with it.
Classic dang, album.
Man, that shit wasn't nothing.
See what I'm saying?
miss me with that Layla's wisdom.
See what I'm saying? Don't worry, real hip hop. I got y'all. Don't worry.
All right, now look, we got a topic today, and we'll be giving props to someone later on in this episode who threw us the oop on this dope ass topic. But it was a very good question, so it got us thinking. Who has had the better 3-album run? It's easy for somebody to come out with one fire album. That's simple to do. You could also argue that several people have been able to pull off the back-to-back. But it's rare when you get somebody who has dropped 3 consecutive fire-ass albums in a row. And that can be in any order. It doesn't have to be their first 3. It doesn't have to be their last 3. It can be in any consecutive order. So I've got 3 people. Y'all have 3 people. Kick this one off, Lou. Give me an artist who you think has had a dope ass 3-album run.
Off the bat, first person came to my mind. May surprising to some people, but okay. I was a big fan of the first 3 artists, and I would argue with you sometimes that he hadn't missed in his first 3 albums.
It should be good.
He's came back strong here lately. I'm gonna go with Jim Jones.
Oh.
I'm gonna go with Jim Jones.
God, if it was Webby, I'd have walked out.
On my way to church.
Fire.
Harlem of a Diary of a Summer.
Whoa.
Harlem Diary of a Summer.
There we go.
And The Hustler's Pony. All 3 of those albums are phenomenal by Jim Jones, if I say this the least, especially coming from his background. We knew Jimmy as Cam's hype man. We knew Jimmy for being the B-man and Dipset, not really the rapper. So that's really why On My Way to Church really surprised me. I didn't think it would be that good at all. Not saying that Jimmy barring you down on anything like that, but it's good music, especially coming from Jim Jones, and he kept the Dipset thing going, you know, while they were at their prominence, giving Cam somebody else to throw the ball to while Cam was chilling. So On My Way to Church, Harlem Diary of a Summer, Hustler's Homie, Jim Jones. We had Ballin' in there. We had Harlem, all of that good shit. So, and we had
Summer in Miami.
And on the first one, we had the remake of the Eazy-E, Real Motherfucking Gangsters. Or
something. Oh, that was
like
hard.
That. So each one of them, he was able to come out with a hit. Each one of them, he was able to be relevant for the album. So that's what I'll go with.
I like Jim Jones, and I really like that On My Way to Church. I can actually listen to that right now, despite that's probably his least lyrical.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? Like, he got better over time.
He was stringing it together on that.
Yeah, he was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was struggling just a little bit.
It was some struggle bars on that.
Rough around the edges. I would say back then, because he wasn't even the second guy in charge. It was Juelz.
But that's what made it good, though. And he was Capo, don't get it twisted.
Yeah, he was
still second in charge. Juelz may have been the better rapper.
That's what I mean.
But,
easily.
That On My Way to Church, I feel like, not to cut you out, but the rough around the edges part is what made it that good.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's kind of like gritty, you know what I'm saying? And I fucked with it. He was like the Draymond of Dipset.
That's a good comparison.
Back then.
When T.I. on now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that album's fire.
That song was hard. Uh-huh.
Now, the next two, Reach God, because those are just some little cool.
Man, that Harlem Diary of a Summer, he was in his bag.
He got some heat on there.
He was dissing Jade. Like, you couldn't tell Jim nothing. Yeah, he was smacking niggas' koofies off their head.
Yeah,
that was prime Jim Jones. Nigga, I was there for that.
He was feeling himself.
Yeah, I don't know about
Let's
that.
Let's go.
But to be fair, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Run that back.
Is that better?
And Max B on there too, heavy?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Max B wrote probably half of this.
He probably did. That's why I still bang it today, to this day.
Is that better than his last 2?
Yeah. That ain't nothing. Neither one of those last two that he dropped better than any one of these three. That's how good these three
his
are.
His last album?
He these dropped? Last Shit. Two that he oh dropped are not God. Better than either one of those three.
That's where you fucked up.
I'm telling you,
you
that
might have had
fact.
People riding with you no, until then.
I'm telling you that for a fact.
I think his last album was his best album he ever made.
Nah, ooh. Absolutely not.
No, that's a fact.
Hot take.
It's one of these three.
No,
actually,
I gotta go back. I'm a, you know what? This weekend, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna run back. I'm gonna run these run them other
back.
Two that you mentioned in that three. Yes. I'm gonna run them back because it's been a long time. Yeah, you reached with that one. Now,
oh my God,
I'll wait till you hear my last one.
For oh man, for my artist first go round, the best three album run. I'm gonna go DMX out the gate. It's Dark and Hell is Hot, Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. Same year, and then there was X. Three for three, out the gate, 1998, 1999. DMX was on fire. Fire. Covers of magazines, movies. He was probably the hottest person popping at that time. He was the anti-shiny suit man. He was gritty. That first album, he was broke. You could tell. Because you know where you could listen to
that's
it.
That's a classic album. Man.
That album is fire.
Oh,
it's
my
a,
God.
That's a classic amazing debut album. Yeah. I think DMX has one of the... Listen, look at the numbers. 4.6 million on that first one, 3.4 on the second one, 4.9 on the third one. He was the shit, people. Yeah. For all my 90s babies out here that may have missed that DMX wave and have only seen him lately.
Y'all ain't missed nothing.
You missed a lot of shit.
What?
That was 10. Oh, man, come on. That was 11 million albums of sales that you missed, and there was a reason for it.
DMX
was popping.
On fire.
Nah, he was on fire, and those projects are dope. I do feel like.
The third one's a little
The
nice.
Third one is banging.
What
and
is
then
that?
It was
Flesh
X.
My Flesh? No. Oh, then there was X. That's the best one.
No.
That's the only one you can go back and listen to.
That's got
today.
What these bitches want from it. Like, I got that one.
That's
fire.
No, it and has got that, the, but.
Fire.
The first.
He got the song we was talking to the dude, the little boy.
That's
same
Damien.
Old shit, dog.
That's,
just a
that's the
nah,
first
nah, I'm not talking about
that's
that.
Not Damien.
Same old shit, dog. Just a different day.
Yeah, when he talking to the kid.
Yeah, you know how we do the games and, that we play when we play.
Nah, y'all tripping. Right that first album be. Is his best album easily.
Now, y'all want to talk about struggle bars? Go back and listen to them DMXs.
Are you
tell
serious?
Me ain't no struggle
like,
bars
you
on there. Niggas get the DMX or pads because y'all fell in love with them three albums. I'm here to let y'all know it's not the biggest DMX fan. You're going to be let down, buddy.
You clearly
I tried to run it back, too. Now, that first one, okay, it's gritty. I give you the same thing with the that we gave Jim Jones, but that second one, nah. Because I remember how good that second one was, that Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, and I tried to go
fire.
Back and listen to it like I used to, and it wasn't enough.
What? These albums are killing Jim
there.
Jones albums.
Absolutely.
All of
absolutely
them.
Not.
Oh, you
are. Absolutely
listen,
not.
Hold on.
I can listen to that Jim Jones tonight.
Slipping?
Yeah, that was banging.
Nigga, Blackout with Hov in the Locks?
Thank okay. you. The song with Drag On?
Fire.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
Mary J?
Mary J.
The best song on that is probably the song with Marilyn Manson.
No, it's not. I'm hot about it.
Nah, the best song on it was Jay and the Locks, and all 12 of them niggas bodied it.
DMX had the worst verse on that song.
What?
Bro, you.
Come on,
you,
man.
Bro,
DMX had
real,
the worst
bro.
Verse on that song.
The hate
not
real.
With the Locks and Jay.
The hate is real, bro.
Sheik Luch had a better verse than
no,
him.
No, he did not.
X come and on. Jay were toe-to-toe.
Toe-to-toe.
Bro.
On what planet?
Bro. Are you serious?
Yes, I'm dead ass.
DMX is a hell of a rapper. You a trick.
He may have been. He may have been.
We got to move on.
He has a classic album.
That's fine. That's, bro, that, I mean, I'm not knocking any of that.
Two
I'm
in
just
one
telling
year.
You what it is.
I don't know. He tripping.
All right, my next one. We ready
yeah,
for that
ahead,
one? My good. Next one, next three album run. I'm going to my guy, Mr. Clifford Harris, the king, the Kang. I'm serious. Classic debut album.
Whoa.
Trap music, classic album.
That's classic.
And Urban Legend may
really
be the best of those three commercially.
Okay.
So you're talking about out of the gate. And like I said, I was waiting on T.I. when this came out. As far as I'm Serious, I seen the video on Rap City. I was a fan following the single of I'm Serious. So I went and bought this, and I was a big T.I. fan since day one. I bought all of these albums the day they came out. That's how long I've been a big T.I. fan. And I
for
think
sure.
that he was consistently in his bag, especially by the time that he got to Urban Legend.
Yo.
I think he could have made a hit in his sleep then. The jail stint totally threw him off. This is when people was calling him the Jay-Z of the South.
Yeah.
This is when people were comparing him to the next big thing. And when people were saying the South couldn't rap, he was the one that came through with these three albums and busted the door down for people like Big Crit and the other lyrical rappers that you have from the South now. So I'm going to go with I'm Serious. It came out in 01. Trap Music in 02. And,
03.
Excuse me. Trap Music in 03 and Urban Legend in 04.
Just to remind people, on Urban Legend, the first three singles were Bring 'Em Out, You Don't Know Me, and ASAP. Fire, fire, and fire. All three of those singles went up. And like you said, commercially, he might have the best singles on there. He had Motivation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like he had some shit on there.
Biggest single was off of King.
Yeah, it was with the for the movie joint. My question is, that first album.
I'm serious.
Does it age well? Because he raps infinitely better than he did then. Let's be honest.
Well, actually, he raps still well on the first album if you go back and listen to it. And the reason that I say it holds up is you could tell that he was purposely trying not to be as Southern on that first album. He was doing the different stuff with telling the stories about when he got shot.
Right.
And trying the other things about taking Tupac and Biggie and riding on the devil with the hoes when he got robbed.
Thing.
Yeah.
D nigga robbed me.
Still ain't forgave myself. Hotel. Like all of those songs were a reach for a Southern artist like T.I. at that point in time. Now they are everyday running the mill stuff, but I feel like he paved the way for that. He was able to take risks, and that's why that album holds up. Because those songs still hold up. You go back and listen to the D Niggas Robbing Me, the Jack's Moves. You can go back and listen to Hotel
Dope
today.
Dope Boys in the Trap.
Dope Boys Trap today. You can go back and listen to Still Ain't Forgave Myself today and still get a full feeling of like, okay, this T.I. still, 20 years later.
Yeah, and it's funny because T.I. is on my list as well, but not because of I'm Serious. Mine was from Trap Music to King. So my thing with T.I. in the first album, I love T.I. first album. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
However, I feel like he was a more polished rapper, especially on Trap Music, which is his classic to me, and going forward, especially on Urban Legend. I think he perfected his flow, especially on Urban Legend. So that's why, because he was so much of a Southern draw on
I'm serious
that it would, when I would play it to people, because I was in college at the time.
Niggas was hating.
When I would play it to people from different parts, they were like, I like it, but what did he say right here? So it was like, it was just so deep on I'm Serious because he was straight off of Bankhead at the time. I remember finding out about him on American Rap Makers back in the day, where Arnell starred. As if y'all know from Atlanta, that's some real shit.
Clearly.
But I think he perfected his pocket on Urban Legend, and it peaked at, for sure.
At King?
Yeah. I wouldn't say peak.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad at either one of them, because I'm a fan of all four of those albums. So, I could go either way. I would probably lean toward King over I'm Serious just a little bit, though, just for the fact that his flow was – he was just in his bag at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could spit in his sleep on King. Big Boy hits on there, What You Know, Live in the Sky, Top Back. Like, it just
– that's a fact.
Like King was crazy. He just had so much
people argue he has two classes, King being one and trap music, obviously.
Now you just had to take it too goddamn far. He's got one classic, which is trap music, people.
Urban Legend was close.
Urban Legend was 4.5. Easy.
What?
Very Urban close. Legend wasn't 4.5?
No, it's banging.
When he did the pop flow on that dad song?
It's banging.
The song with Nelly? Come on.
Nelly
ripped it.
Nelly ripped it.
Got four G's. I got four G's and five G's and ones. Come on, man.
That ain't nothing.
But the pop flow is what I was talking about. He just took the whole flow. That's why T.I. is one of the best rappers.
Hey, Pac has done that a couple times because he did that on.
T.I. done that to Pac.
Yeah, he took that Pac flow on. Man, it's another record he did that on. It's like a drama thing. And it was cold how he did it.
We played the song on it.
He named out the Pac titles and shit.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at that. I ain't mad at either one of y'all for that. I'm going to go next. I got to go. And of course, this man right here has an album coming up this week that I can't wait to drop. Very underrated discography, in my opinion. Rosé, Rick Ross. I've got to go Teflon Don, God Forgives, Mastermind. All three of those today are fucking banging. I could argue Teflon Don is better to a lot of people, but God Forgives is my favorite. And then shout out my guy J-Hove, because he told me, he said, hey, and this might have been J-Hove, I might be giving him props for somebody else. This might have been somebody else that told me this. He said, hey, when last time you listened to that Mastermind? I was like, nigga, it's been a minute. I'm not gonna lie, I just thought it was something to look cool. He said, run that Mastermind back. Just do me a favor, run that Mastermind back. I said, okay, let me run it back. I had to call back and apologize because that motherfucker is riding.
Is it?
Yes. I said the same thing.
Is it?
Cap.
I said the same thing until I went back and listened to it. I can't exactly remember what was going on at that time that may have overshadowed it, but that album is fire. It's his sixth album. It's banging. It's got complete heat rock on there. I challenge everyone that is listening, go double back. I know it's been a minute. Drug Dealer's Dream, Mafia Music 3, The Devil Is Alive with Hove, War Ready with Jeezy.
What year was it?
2014. Mm-hmm. Sanctified with Big Sean and Ye. Thug awesome. Cry with Wayne. It's fire, nigga. Mm-hmm. Nigga, Blessing in Disguise with Scarface.
That was bang.
Scarface.
Dude. Scarface. The Richest Gangster, Drug Dealer's Dream. All of those are fire. Everything I just named was fire. The Biggie Flow on Nobody. Bro, y'all serious?
No, that was hard.
The album is bang.
I think the album is it's like a B minus for me.
That's not true.
Yeah.
No, it's a good album. No, I challenge everybody to double back and listen to that. I think Ross's, again, his discography is underrated. This was his best three album run because Hood Billionaire and Black Market, to a certain extent, blew the next three. So
it definitely did.
I've got to go with this one. Run That Back for your boy.
I don't know about that master, man. I ain't going to lie to you.
Until you run it back and you come back next week and go, you
he
know what?
He did have the best the best Puff excerpt ever in the history of man.
Yeah, that was, oh, my God. On That Nobody?
They put on That Nobody. Though. I didn't listen to that.
Who was he
tonight.
Talking to right there? Los?
Los, yeah.
He had to be.
They said it leaked out that it was Los. That's not, that Puff, that ain't the Puff that's going to be on
that's
Making
the
Band.
Yes,
y'all
is.
Know that, right?
That's the
that
Puff we
that
need
puff.
On
that's
that,
puff
that fucking Making the Band.
All right, if ain't nobody gonna hold my uncle now, then I got to, man. With
what's
every
your last one
of these, man, my last one cannot be disputed at all. Master P, Ice Cream Man, Ghetto D, and The Last Don.
You don't even like The Last Don. This nigga just made up some shit.
This nigga's like, you don't like
this
The Last Don.
This nigga just
Don.
Winged it at the very last second, and he's on record saying he don't fuck with Last Don.
We talking about three album runs. We talking about Master P and me liking his three album run. How you going to tell me what I don't like, man?
Dude, I can pull up the show.
What? Tell me what show it is. Tell me what show it
is. Some slaw.
I may have told you that in private, but just like you saying, oh, I ran the Mastermind back, I can run Last Don back and appreciate it more today now.
That's fair.
I ain't had a Last Don conversation with you in how many years?
Two.
Thank God. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. So like I said, listening to Last Don now and putting it in succession with the other two albums, I feel like it was a perfect three. You come out as the Ice Cream Man, you take it to the Ghetto D, pushing it up a level, and then you retire as the Last Don. I feel like it was a perfect three album run. Of course, there was a heavy influence on my early music years, so that's why I picked it as well. Till you guys start hating, making all kind of noises and cutting me off, I could have gave you a lot more information, but feel free. Go ahead, guys.
I will say this.
More information on the album?
Yeah, as the resident No Limitologist in the building.
Clearly not if you ain't picking these three, because you don't like
Ice Cream Man. Is some slaw.
No, Ice Cream Man is better than The Last Don and...
Now, I would have went Ghetto D, Last Don and Only God Can Judge Me.
Nah.
Those
that's
three...
That's not true. Ice Cream Man was his breakout album to me. That's the first one that I heard and the people that are around my way heard. So that's always going to have some nostalgia. And if you go back and listen to it for that time frame, that album can run straight through. He had everything that you were looking for. This is what started the No Limit recipe.
Absolutely.
This is how they formatted all of their albums, and this was the first album that they started to format this way.
That's a fact. With that being said, it's some slaw.
Trash.
To you guys.
But because he's rapping like he's from the West Coast on there. That style he's rapping with doesn't translate.
On some songs, he is. You're absolutely right. He has some of the still 99 Ways to Die flow on there.
That's what I'm saying.
But the complete album is not like that. You have songs like, what is it, Break 'Em Off something? That's not a West Coast flow.
Absolutely not.
The song To His Mama, Dear Mama song, a West Coast flow. I'm Bout is not a West Coast flow. So I like that, and I feel like it was a perfect little story that he told. We were talking about Ross and the persona that it created. I don't think one has been created better since the Ice Cream Man and what P did. So that's why I picked those three.
Now, it's got some bangers on there, but it just...
It's
and
banging.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
I mean, but in time to check my crack house is my shit.
Y'all had to be off the porch at that point in time. If y'all wasn't off the porch
nigga.
At point in time listening to that, I mean, I can't help y'all.
How old
I'm
you
sorry. It doesn't matter how old I am. No matter where I was at when
I
this
I wanted
came
to know
out.
When we was off
like
the porch.
Like Pusha T said, my nigga, where was you when Meech brought the Tigers in?
I want to know where you were.
I just want to know where you was when Meech brought the Tigers
so
in.
So where were you?
Just tell me where you were. But go ahead.
I was here in Atlanta.
Okay. All right. Yeah, P my boy, but I can't even do this. That's cheating. I can't even have him on here. What I can do is give you my last and final one, and it is without question Kanye West. And the order is on which I'm going to do it is his three out the fucking gate. This is easy. College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. Three for three, home runs, grand slams. If you want to call all three classics, I wouldn't be mad at you. If you want to say two out of three are classic, that's fine. One out of three, then you're tripping.
Yeah.
These albums are fire. My personal favorite is Graduation out of the three, but that could alternate each way.
Oh, you're alive. We ranked the Kanye albums. You picked the other one before that.
Graduation was number one.
Yeah, you picked that before that. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Nah, we both picked Late Registration.
Nah, let's bet.
We agreed on Late Registration on
it. We can pull up the tape,
back, but go ahead.
I'm going to edit it in.
Put it in there. Put it in the exact spot when you don't find it. And people are like, well, I wonder why he didn't put it there. Because he didn't find it. That's AB for y'all, because he's not going to find it.
Numero uno. 1,000%. The best Kanye West album ever is Graduation.
Graduation is amazing. Can't Tell Me Nothing, Good Life, Flashing Lights, Homecoming, it's damn near flawless. Kanye's first three, I think I understand why to this day people are still yearning for that quote-unquote old Kanye.
Oh, my God.
Because he was, when he came out the gate, the nigga was amazing.
Fire.
So I get it. We spoke earlier about being yourself and not necessarily have to be a gangster. And you can be YBN talking about working at Outback or wherever the fuck he was at. The reason being.
TGI Fridays.
Fridays, whatever. The reason being is because Kanye came out and was like, I have on pink polo shirts and I have a backpack.
Louis backpack.
And I've been fucking digging in crates at the record store all night. That's why you could do that. He made that cool. And these three albums are phenomenal. That, like, bro, this is crazy. Yeah, the albums are amazing.
I mean,
period.
You can't. Kanye was on my list as well.
These same three?
Of course.
Yeah. Graduation from college dropout until graduate. You can't lose with this. I mean, Late Registration is one of my favorite Kanye albums, also one of my favorite rap albums ever. Mm. Production-wise, that album is probably top five because he did so much. Because everybody thought he was going to do the same thing with his freshman effort. He came out with the sophomore. It was darker. It had the bonus tracks that were fire, amazing.
Yeah.
Like everything about this album was great to me.
That crack music verse?
Oh.
When he said Reagan gave us the answer.
Yeah.
Hey, dude. That verse is crazy.
Yeah, and they one of my favorite, actually the interlude with Common is one of my favorite songs.
On My Way Home.
When Gil Scott Heron sample.
That's banging.
That's fire.
Paul Wall ripped it over T.I. on Drive Slow.
Not over T.I., but no, he had a good verse.
Facts.
And T.I. wasn't on the album though. That was really good. After
Slow. Yeah. But no, there's no one on earth that's gonna debate these three Kanye's. There's just impossible.
There's no way.
Nah.
It's impossible.
Can't debate that.
Yeah, and
I wish that guy was still living. That Kanye West made that. I wish he was still around.
I could have went my Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy Yeezus and Pablo.
Absolutely. Yeah, you could not have.
No, you can't.
Absolutely could not. I could have went Kendrick with To Pimp a Butterfly and Good Kid Mad City.
No, you could.
That was a layup.
Yeah, I mean Kendrick's a layup. The only difference with me, like I said, I had T.I., but I had for different albums. Trap Music was his undisputed classic album, Urban Legend, and King. So those were my three album runs for Tip because he went the highest he has gone ever in that peak. Outkast was my only difference from you guys. It's no secret. I mean, Outkast.
Which ones?
I'm about to give it.
Okay.
I'm about to give it to you. Shit. It's no secret. I mean, everybody knows Outkast are living legends. They changed. They helped. They put the South on their back. Okay. Let's not forget that. The Outkast put the South on their back. So it's really, I can go all Outkast albums, but my three album run would be Southern Playlist, Cadillac Music, classic, AT Aliens, classic, Aquemini, undisputed classic.
Are we sure that Southern Playlist and Cadillac Music is a classic?
That is a classic, Bob. Everyone knows this.
Is it an Atlanta classic or a hip-hop classic?
No, it's what year you think they went to the Source Awards?
It's a Southern classic.
Thank you.
What year did
it's the same thing as I'm Serious. I would put them in the same.
No, this album is better than I'm Serious.
I'm not saying it's not better. I'm saying the critically acclaimedness of being a Southern classic, I would say.
It's definitely a Southern classic, but they want what year did they go to the Source Awards?
No doubt.
Okay.
The Players Ball and Get Up, Get Out. Yeah, like,
it changed everything. It changed the landscape. It's like Quentin Tarantino and Pulp Fiction. That's how it changed the landscape of how music what turn music took. And that's why I like about
it. I lean a little more toward AT Aliens and Aquemini. But I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, three albums. I mean, these are all classic, in my eyes, for sure. Yeah. Classic albums.
They dropped every 2 years, 94, 96, 98.
Back with that.
That's when they were cooking.
Those are amazing albums. Like, you can tell they're amazing pieces of work because most people still consider Andre.
Yes.
That's what they reference when you say, you didn't have bodies at work. You say, we got three albums for the 16.
That's a great fucking point.
That is his call to that. So, I mean, you can't knock any of those, what you guys said. So,
can you listen to that Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music today?
Yes.
Really? Just like I listened to Ride Dirty today.
Yeah. Because right. it's like old Southern music. It's like you can still listen to A-Ball and MJG coming out hard today.
Yes.
Like you can still listen to those and it don't sound like,
yeah, because it's some.
Because it wasn't really, right. to your point, it wasn't really a lot of stuff out like that then. And it was so much, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it was so good that it's lasted this long.
I would
say that.
I can respect that, man. Y'all let us know on Facebook in the rap chat. Give us some of your best three album runs. Who did we miss? Who did we forget? Who did we skip out on? Who were we right about? Who were we wrong about? Let us know. Now, do we have a new
Drake? What happened to Drake? Ain't no Drake.
He got a 10 album run. Hell, you talking about?
No,
we'll talk about Drake when we do a 6 album
didn't
run episode.
Think so.
what you got for us, man? On the music break.
Yes, 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 y'all, and we don't stop. We got our man Currency the Hospital, one of my favorites. He is back with a new release coming out soon called Hot August Nights. This track is off of that project, and this track is entitled Eyes Closed.
Eyes Closed. Let's hear it.
3 a.m. She calling up for love and smoke. She tryna fuck, I'm playing it off like I don't know. I roll four, lit one up when she come through the door. She peeping everything, chandelier, marble flow. I passed that, told her keep it, I got hella reason. Ass fed, let me see it, don't be playing either. Surround sound, bumping loud, got her working out. This ain't a strip club, this my studio house. The mama, I could bring you around if you're really down. Bring you to my real crib in a little while. Said I run the city, but I hold it down. Andrade on the coke game, ice cold. Watch me roll this motherfucker with my eyes.
Man, that was Currency, Eyes Closed, like Mike at the free throw line. How you feel about it, sir?
Yes, sir.
I don't think we've ever played a Currency song on here, and I've been like, I ain't like it. I'm such a fan of Currency and what he does. I like his consistency. I like that he doesn't pull the glasses Malone approach and try to be like, oh, it's all gangster rap, you know, and I'm competing with Kendrick Lamar, even though I make smoker music. So yeah, I love that Currency stays in his lane, and I love that he's successful in his lane.
Love it.
And I like how he do it. I ain't never have any complaints about Currency.
Yeah, now that Currency song is banging, and I like the fact that he switches up his style. He can go from Alchemist soul sampled loop style beats, or he can do something like this, and a little bit more up-tempo that you can ride to. And he doesn't go to the cheat code and go and get somebody on the hook or go and get somebody on the feature. He can do it all himself.
All in-house, baby. So I love Currency as far as how he does his music.
Yeah, I'm fucking with him. That new project, I think, is like more of an EP. It's about 6-7 tracks. But I'm here for it if it sounds like this.
Yeah, obviously, I like this record as well. I'm looking for Hot August Nights to come out. My birthday is in August. It's always Hot August Night. Shout out to them Leos.
Oh, my God. Moving on.
AKA your astrology master.
That could be a lot of AKAs.
Before we get out of here, let's talk Tory Lanez. Now, during an Ask Tory Twitter session, a user asked the Toronto artist what he would charge for a feature on his record. Mm-hmm. Tory replied, and I quote, "On everything, I'm charging $75,000 for a feature right now," end quote. Now, let's presume that to be true since he put it on everything. If you had an up-and-coming artist, would you make that investment for Lanez to drop them $75,000? Or is there another artist that you would try to get, presuming that you have that in the budget?
I'm not paying Tory Lanez for it at all. Just because I'm not going to get a return on investment on a $75,000 feature from Tory Lanez. He's a talented guy. And if my artist, he probably going to smoke my artist if we rapping. And I don't think... Yeah, I mean, because he a hell of a rapper.
Absolutely.
And you getting in his bag, you charging me $75,000, you better bring your best.
Yep.
But I ain't giving him that for no hook, though, and I feel like that's what he's strongest at, and that's what I would want him to be on with my artist, more of the R&B Tory Lanez. And if that's what you charging for that, then I don't really need you.
That's rough.
I ain't get that from the chick that can sing off Instagram or something, man. I can send her $37,000 and be good.
That's true.
So I don't need, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that the Tory Lanez feature puts you in a lot many more places if you got $75,000 in your budget.
Yeah, that's what
like
I mean.
If you a nigga that can spend $75,000, Tory Lanez ain't the way to go with it, is what I'm saying.
So who would you go that is in that range? Don't tell me I'm getting Kendrick. No.
$75,000?
Yes. That you would think would be in that range. I know we don't know all these artists' fucking tickets, but more of like, would you get a Chains verse for $75,000?
The Baby.
That's a lot. He can't be charging $75,000.
Yeah,
right now.
You paying the Baby, and you ain't paying Tory Lanez.
Nah, the song may sound better with Tory Lanez. I ain't knocking that
because
Tory Lanez, he a better song maker. But if right now I'm trying to get my artist popping, I want this wave the baby got for the 75 and what he got going on, a new feature from him. Well, I give it to Meg, too. I give her 75 right
I
now.
I need, listen,
either one of them two.
First of all, I think it's worth it because the hook is going to make everything.
That's what I was just
and Tory Lanez is a hook master. Now, he's not Chris Brown. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's Ty Dolla $ign, Chris Brown, and then everybody else.
Okay.
But Tory Lanez is six not black. Too far behind. No, no, not absolutely
just
not.
Just black.
Not even six black.
Six black.
Or slack. Not even him, but those two are ahead of everybody black. Else. Tory Lanez is right under them.
You got black fucked up.
So if I can't afford Chris Brown or Ty Dolla $ign, absolutely line me up, lace me with that Tory Lanez hook,
for sure.
And I'm out of there. But he got to do the video too, though. Mm.
Got to do the video.
He got to. Mm. You got to sign in the contract that you're doing the video, sir.
Y'all going to hoop in the video?
Absolutely not. Nigga Jumper going to fuck the song up. But I will say this, though. In comparison, earlier this year, Soulja Boy was charging $10,000 for a feature. Would you rather spend $75 on Tory Lanez or $10 for Soulja Boy?
$75 easy on Tory Lanez. That's the best $75 I spent in my life.
You wouldn't do the $10 for the Soulja Boy? No, he charging beats. He charging $2,500 for a beat.
No way Soulja Boy charging me $10,000 for no nothing. You better pull up, bro. You better do that on the strength. What the kids say on God?
Just, on big
bro,
God.
Pull up on God. On gang, bro. Just pull up on gang, bro. That's what Soulja Boy getting. Would you take Jacquees for them $75? Are you giving Jacquees $75?
$37
Baby, won't all that's 30.
Man, listen, if you...
I'll pay Jacquees $37, though. Jacquees, he could give you a hook, right?
What hit has he done, though? That's how you got to look at
he
it.
He did the cover for...
LMA?
Yeah.
You still eating off that 2 years later?
That's worth $37.
He didn't write that. He just took...
You giving Jacquees $37,000?
Yeah.
Why are we saying 37? That's a random ass number.
That's half of... I'm just going half.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. So you got $75,000 for Tory Lanez?
I'm definitely giving Tory. If your artist is talented and you have Tory Lanez on the hook, it's gonna be a hit.
So and you got a fire project.
Yeah. It's gonna be
rough.
It's a good investment.
You're an A&R, you might lose your job putting everything on that Tory Lanez single.
That's gonna be rough.
It depends on the budget, but if I had it, I'll get it.
So that's the better question. Y'all, if you're the A&R and your job is dependent on it, and you putting $75,000 of your budget towards a Tory Lanez single?
I would do that if I got $100,000.
Right. Nah.
No, let's say we got $100,000.
Okay.
And we're like, okay, y'all want to do $75,000 for this feature and $25,000 for marketing and promoting?
Hey, I'm with it.
That might be the play, bro.
Tory gonna get you on the radio if the song is a hit.
He better.
That's what you need. And I need the video again.
I need the video.
Nigga, we video needs your to be ass included. Down, yeah. Your non-jump shooting ass down
and
to wherever
need
I'm
social
at.
Media is included. You need
all
to
that. Mm. All of that. I need a total package with that shit. Yeah. All right, man. On deck of the week. Again, I mentioned this earlier. Shout out to Micah_P on Instagram. He sent us a question. He said, man, I know you guys previously did an episode on the Hip Hop Hall of Fame, but I've got a twist. Does anybody have three straight classic albums that you would put into the Hip Hop Hall of Fame? Now, of course, we did a spin on that. We're not saying that all three of these albums we mentioned were classic, but they were fire. He put it as an example. Jay-Z with Reasonable Doubt, In My Lifetime, 1 and 2. Mm. So I know a lot of people don't like 2, though.
I would go.
People don't like 2.
It's 1 or 2.
Volume 2,
off
a lot of people off on. This is his highest selling album. I would go The Dynasty of the Blueprint and. Black Album.
Two.
Black Album, right?
No, Blueprint 2 is before Black Album.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it is.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that blew that, yeah, even though that's not a bad album, but it's just not worth
that. Not, perfect. Yeah, if the album
right,
been 14,
it did come out right next
if
year.
If the album would have been 14 songs, Blueprint 2 would have been a classic.
So Jay-Z don't have three straight bangers? That's what we're saying? Because you could go Volume 3, Dynasty, and then Blueprint.
Yeah, you can.
You can do that.
But Dynasty.
Well, you can go Black Album, American Gangsta, right?
No, Kingdom Come came after Black Album.
God. Dynasty blows it for your thing.
Dynasty banging.
It's banging, but it's not a full J project.
People always try to throw that as a compilation. I just don't see it. I never remember them marketing that
it was because it was supposed to be a compilation.
Yeah.
At first, it wasn't going
to
be a J album.
They changed it to a J album, but
it was start getting them Kanye tracks in. Jay was like, "Hold on, let me do some more work."
Dynasty was a year before that, right?
No, it was Kanye. He was on. He helped him with most of that.
Dynasty
album.
Was 2000.
Oh, because it did Can't Be Life on that. That's right. Yeah.
It was. Soon you'll understand. I think.
That song was fire.
So Jay,
Jay ain't got no 3 albums.
He was most consistent.
I'll tell you who do got one.
Who?
My nigga Nelly.
All right. With that being said,
Country Grandma. What was the next one? Nellyville.
We don't know.
And then the double CD. Right.
No.
Yeah.
Sweatsuit.
That shit was trash.
Nigga.
Fuck
out of here.
Country Grandma.
Nellyville. Was hard, but that was trash.
And Suit.
Suit is trash.
Sweat suit.
No. I get to pick either one. It's a double CD. I get to pick either one.
Absolutely not.
The Hot Boys.
No, third album was trash, bro.
The third album was okay. Don't do the third album like that.
It's trash.
Let Them Burn? Fucking trash, bro.
Basura.
Yeah. Basura. Just as bad as that Nelly shit you just tried to throw.
Nah, Nelly first two albums, man.
Well, I could just throw the St. Lunatics as the third one, then.
You throw them out with the fucking garbage.
That St. Lunatics album was fire.
Fire?
No. Yes. That St. Lunatics and that Murphy Lee and that Ali was all right.
Yeah, all right. What you should have led with.
Now, Murphy Lee was banging, though.
Shout out to Micah _P. We appreciate you with the dope suggestion.
Shout out my St. Louis people, man.
Absolutely. Now, what new music do we have, sir? Please don't name every damn
I started with Labs last week. Drake dropped Care Package, was a collection of Lucy's from the past 10 years. We discussed that earlier. Lil Durk was really the true hip-hop artist who dropped a real full-length album last week.
Yep.
And it's not bad at all. Shout out to the whole Chi-Town, Lil Durk. He did his thing on this project. It's actually something I was looking forward to hearing because I want to hear his maturation, and especially with this case looming.
Lil Durk out.
Did he get out on bond?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought you meant it was the album. I was like, yeah, I just said yeah, yeah, he's out on bond, and we wish him the best with that situation. And I hate this artist, but I will mention this. Rich Forever from Rich the Kid came out featuring Famous Dex and Jay Critch. Rich the Kid gets no play in my ride at all.
Yeah,
that's that's it. Black Milk came out as well for all you underground fans. Black Milk, we came out with Dive. So coming up this week, we all know the most anticipated album from the boss himself, Ricky Rosé.
Let's fucking go. MMG Brown is my name for the rest of the fucking week, nigga. Yeah, let's go.
He's supposed to be coming out with the Port of Miami 2. A lot of high expectations. And off of this
album. Better be banging. I know that long as we waited for this shit.
Mm. Yes. A lot of.
Better be banging.
Right.
Real quick, though. Do we get Pusha T and Wayne on that Maybach Music 6? Yes, no.
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 What?
No, it's not happening.
I'm betting bread he's on there.
He didn't sound too confident about what he was interviewing.
No, he didn't.
He wouldn't have brought it up if I don't think they would be on there.
Jeff and Eric brought it up on the interview that I heard.
No, but he was asked on the interview the week before that.
Oh.
I heard the rumor is that you had.
But he didn't answer the question.
That was him trying to do that media negotiating that the Cowboys doing with Zeke now. Like, he trying to get Pusha T to be like, see, the people want it. I mentioned it.
Because they saying Wayne with it, but Pusha T not.
Like the Wayne Cowboys with Zeke.
Yeah, we negotiating through the media, man.
Good luck.
Zeke
will miss a lot of games this year.
It don't matter.
Port of Miami 2 coming out. Rick Ross, like I said, this will be my reintroduction to putting out reviews. You will get those linked in our On Deck TV podcast, and some links will be posted on my page as well. So look out for those. Other albums we have coming out, Bumps and Bruises from Ugly God, Arrogant American from Riff Raft. And
so bored.
No.
Tough. Yes. I don't know why this MERS and Knife Wonder is coming up again, but it's already out.
I don't know why it came out to begin with.
Yeah. Actually, it's not bad at all from what I've heard so far. Knife Wonder is a magician behind the board.
He's nice.
He better be to be doing shit with MERS.
That's a fact. Yeah.
So that's what we got.
David
Cobb. Oh, and I saw a tease on Future's page for something this Friday. I'm not sure if it's going to be a video for a single or another
2 Chainz song.
Or another single or project. So we'll see about that as well.
Wake Me When That With A Time To Be Alive 2 comes out.
Never every 30 seconds.
Oh, we also got that Megan and Nicki song coming out on the 9th as
so
well.
So that one is coming out. That's a big record. That is something that I predicted earlier this year on the On Deck TV podcast. If you remember correctly.
That nigga can get that out fast. Yeah. That is a big record. That's something that I predicted on an On Deck TV podcast earlier this year.
Yeah, that's right.
Timestamp 4463.
That's right. Motherfuckers hate to be wrong, and I Nobody love was to wrong. Be right.
Nobody was wrong about it, to be clear. You just said it. You just said it. We said we prefer Cardi.
Megan.
We said we prefer Cardi. So.
Megan picking a side, I don't like it. I'm going to go ahead and
there's
be
no
a
sides.
Maybe she the peacekeeper. Maybe she can bring all of them together.
I'm here for unity. There's no sides. Yeah.
Maybe the hot girl can bring everybody together and make it a good finalized hot girl summer, and we get a song with all three of them.
Perception is reality. People are going to look at it like she's choosing a side. I'm not saying bring she is. Together. That's just going to be the perception.
I think Megan the peacekeeper.
I think this record is needed, so I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Megan the peacekeeper.
Real quick, though, before we talk about what we got on deck for the weekend, y'all do us a favor, go to Patreon. We have some brand new shit. We waited to the end to debut this. Patreon.com/RealVille. Do us a favor. That's RealVille with two E's. Believe that. We've got new content on there as we speak. We've got a brand new show. We're doing album reviews. It's called Album Cover. Y'all go check that. We got two new joints on there right now. We've got more exclusive content coming very, very soon. You are going to want to check that shit out. If I may say so myself, it's fire.
Speaking of exclusive content, you may have seen an extra drop last week, and that was a Snow School. That was our podcast where we discussed Snowfall. We're going to do four of those, so there are three more coming. We'll review them after every third episode and then a finale episode. So you guys be on the lookout for Snow School. We're going to continue to add to it and make it good part of the new content that we have for you. That one will not be on Patreon. Nope. We'll have it in your regular feed as far as how you get your On Deck TV podcast. So continue to look out for Snow School. We appreciate the feedback that we got on that.
Absolutely, man. Again, patreon.com/realville. The link will be in these notes. Just click that shit. Take straight there. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you got on deck for the weekend?
That man came out. I need to practice. There's a tournament coming up on the 6th with my guys over there at Dead End that I definitely need practice for because I got beat by the computer on my first try. The Giants, nonetheless.
God, you some slaw.
Man, I had the Cardinals, though. I had to see what my guy Kyler was looking like. So, y'all find me on the PS4, man. I am Spike Lou this weekend if you can.
Find me on there, too, man. Animal Brown or Animal_Brown. I can't remember, but I'm on the PS4
take
online
that
network.
Underscore over there. You were forced to use that shit everywhere else. You ain't bring that shit.
But I'm slow motion this weekend. No movies out right now. It's kind of quiet, even though it's summertime. That's kind of some slow. So I'll be in the crib. I'm going to start a new series, Animal Kingdom. I'm hearing good things about it.
Great show. Why do you keep putting off The Wire?
I got to finish The Sopranos first. I do have to finish The Sopranos, and I am struggling through season 6.
Yeah, you made me forget all about the Kevin Finnerty. I forgot about that theory.
Trash.
I forgot about that theory, though. It was a hell of a theory, though.
It was trash.
Which, once you read into it, though, the theory is dope. But the TV, the shit on the screen is some slaw.
Get Tony out of the fucking coma immediately, because this shit is trash.
He was selling insurance, wasn't he?
Yes, it's
trash.
Man,
yeah, that was bad.
Mm-hmm. MX, what you got on deck, sir?
I'm not sure this weekend. I'm sure I'm going to fall into something. Slow motion for me. We will see. I do need to go get that Madden as well. It's MX3 on Xbox Live if you are playing.
Nobody plays Xbox.
Apparently, everybody in America plays Xbox. No. Xbox is the number one online gaming experience.
Allegedly.
No, it's stats. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah, they do.
Numbers don't lie.
They lying now.
Oh, shit. All right, man. Again, we appreciate it. Fuck with us on Facebook. Follow us at On Deck TV Podcast on Instagram. And go to iTunes. Rate, comment, subscribe, like, do all that good shit. Patreon.com/Realville. We out.
Yep.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.